And it's been wonderful, hasn't it, to not only sing the carols, but to hear those wonderful readings from the Bible again. The first two readings were from the Old Testament. They were written some 700 years before the event in Bethlehem that we're commemorating again this weekend. And they remind us that the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ was God's great plan of history. And all through the Old Testament, there were people who were looking forward and prophesying that Jesus would come. And then, of course, we read the familiar story, didn't we? We read about an angel appearing to Mary, coming and telling her that she was going to give birth to a child, even though she was still a virgin. And another angel who appeared to Joseph in a dream, telling him not to be concerned, not to worry, but to take Mary to be his wife, because the child that was conceived in her was going to be the Saviour who would save people from their sins. And then, of course, we read, didn't we, about the birth of Jesus itself. And we read, didn't we, about the shepherds who came to the stable and saw Jesus wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, and went away rejoicing. They'd had the shock of their lives that evening as they'd been watching their sheep on the hillside. They'd seen an angel. The glory of the Lord had appeared round and about them. A multitude of the heavenly host had given them a divine concert of praise as they worshipped and as they rejoiced in that great gift that had been given. And then, of course, our last reading reminded us of those wise men who came from afar, who came from the east, and who came with their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh to honour the baby, to worship the baby that had been born. And so we've read these wonderful stories, these wonderful passages, and all of the Christmas story has been paraded before our eyes and our ears. But what if I asked you tonight to tell me what Christmas is all about without talking about Joseph and Mary and stables and mangers and shepherds and wise men and angels? If I said to you tonight, sum up what the Christmas story is all about, I wonder how you would do that. This morning in our service, when we met together for morning worship, we saw how the Apostle Paul did that, writing perhaps 50 years later. He said this, he said, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law." And we saw there what a lovely description that is of what Christmas is all about. God sending his Son at just the right time, sending his Son so that we might be redeemed, so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we might have everlasting life. And we saw how the Apostle Paul, writing all those years later, summed up what the Christmas message is about. Is it possible to better that? Perhaps not. And yet, in the Bible, we have the Lord Jesus himself telling us what the Christmas message is all about. Jesus himself, the one who is the subject of our praise tonight, the one who is the reason for the season. When he was here amongst men as part of his public ministry, he told us one day what the Christmas message is all about. He was speaking, probably by candlelight as well. In John's Gospel, in chapter 3, we read about a man who came to Jesus in the middle of the night. He came to Jesus by night, perhaps because he didn't want anybody to see him, perhaps because he was frightened of what other people might think. But he came to Jesus. He wanted to find out more about Jesus. And in the middle of the night, probably by candlelight, just as we are this evening, Jesus told him the Christmas message. Jesus told him the Christian message. Jesus told him why he had come into the world. And Jesus summed up for us what Christmas is all about. Let me read to you the verse that we have. It's a very famous verse. It's a verse that perhaps you've already heard. It's a verse that in many ways sums up the Christmas and the Christian message. And it goes like this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Christmas is all about. That's what ultimately Christianity is all about. That's why we're here tonight, celebrating another Christmas, singing our carols and hearing our readings. And it's a lovely verse. It's a lovely expression of the Christmas story because it tells us about great things. It tells us, first of all, about a great love. You notice how it starts. For God so loved the world. You see, at Christmas, we love and we're able to show our love to one another, aren't we? No doubt you'll be receiving gifts. You'll be giving gifts. You'll have chosen those gifts over these last few weeks, maybe these last few months. And those gifts are a token of your love. And there'll be other ways in which we'll show our love for one another. And we'll perhaps have meals together. Perhaps we'll visit one another. And there'll be love, won't there, shown one to another. There'll be other folk for whom Christmas will be a difficult time because they don't feel loved, because the circumstances in their lives, perhaps, are unloving circumstances, and our hearts go out to them at this time of Christmas. But you see, Christmas ultimately is about God's love. It's about God's love to men and women. It's about God's love to you and to me. And it's a great love. The verse, Jesus tells us, as he sums up what Christmas is about. He doesn't just say God loved the world, but God so loved the world. The world then, just as it is now, was a very unlovely place. The world then was racked by warfare and strife and man's greediness and famine and lust for power and all those things that mar our world now. All those things that make the news so difficult to listen to sometimes, they were just as true in Bible times. And yet, God so loved the world. All of those things that make this world an ugly place and an unlovely place sometimes, all of those things are the breaking of God's law. Are because men and women don't live their lives as God would have us live, as God commands us to live. In a sense, all of those things that make the world unlovely are acts of rebellion against the God who made us. And yet God so loved the world. And Christmas is about God shedding abroad and manifesting and declaring his love to us, to me, to you this Christmas. And even if this Christmas is a difficult time for you, and even if you feel, as you look around and in your particular situation, you feel that there aren't many people who love you this Christmas, remember that God loves you. And Christmas is the supreme evidence of that love. How can I say that? How do we know that God so loved the world? Lots of people might say, I love you. Lots of people might profess their love. At Christmas time, we often hear the songs, don't we? And the songs perhaps in the chart that speak about love. And we may ask the question, well, how do I know that God loves me? Well, you see, God doesn't just say that he loves us, but he proves that he loves us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. You see, the wonder of Christmas, one of the most wonderful things about Christmas, is that that little baby lying in a manger, born in a stable, That little baby, the son of Joseph, as it was thought, and Mary. That little baby who would grow up to be a boy, and who would grow up to be a man, and who one day would be crucified on a cross, and a few days later would rise again from the dead. That baby is God's only son. That baby is different to every other baby that ever has been born, every other baby that will be born, because he is the eternal Son of God. He is not just a baby who is born, but he is God's Son who is given to us. And you see, that's the proof of God's love to us, that God gives us his only Son. You'll have some lovely gifts, I trust, tomorrow. Maybe you're like the royal family and you open your Christmas presents this evening on Christmas Eve. Maybe you'll go home tonight and open your presents and you'll have some lovely presents. Presents from people you love. Presents from maybe children or grandchildren. And you'll rejoice in them. You'll have presents that you know come from somebody who's sacrificed to give you that present, gone without perhaps, to give you such a nice present. You look at the present and you think, well, how lovely that they thought so much of me that they've given me this. Or maybe you won't have many presents. Maybe you won't have the gifts that you'd like to have. But you know, you have the greatest gift at Christmas because God has given his Son. God has given his only Son. And he's given his only Son not just to a stable and to a manger, but he's given him to a cross and to a tomb. Why has he done that? Why did Jesus come into the world? Why was he born? Well, because not only does this verse speak about a great love and a great gift, but it gives us a great promise as well, doesn't it? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that's why Jesus came. That's why the coming of Jesus is such a vital thing for you and for me. God sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world, sent his Son to save us from our sins, sent his Son, Jesus said, so that we might not perish, but that we might have everlasting life. That's the greatest promise. In a sense, you can't be promised anything greater than everlasting life. And as Jesus sums up the message of Christmas, as he sums up the message of the gospel, as he sums up why he came into this world, he tells us that he came so that we might have life everlasting. Did you hear it? Whoever believes in me. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes might have everlasting life. That word, whoever, is such a lovely word, isn't it? What that means is that it applies to everybody. It applies to you. It applies to me. It applies to people all over the world and people all through history. That's why Christmas is such a wonderful truth. And the message of Christmas is such a glorious one for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so this Christmas, God, as it were, stretches forth his arm from heaven. And he has in that hand an offer to you of everlasting life. And all you need to do is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and come in faith and in repentance and take that gift from him. That's what Christmas is about. That's why we commemorate it year by year, week by week, because Christ has come that we might have everlasting life. Our prayer here at the church is that you have a wonderful day tomorrow, a lovely day, rejoicing, perhaps with family, perhaps with loved ones, but either way. And that you'll know that greatest gift of all, God's gift to us, Jesus Christ, and the everlasting life that comes through him.